Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Wednesday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, Cam Black. Game's all here. How are we today? Thumbs up from Ben Lee. Cody?
Excellent.
Cody, are you there?
Excellent. Yes, yes. Hello, okay, hello.
Just checking.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Am I on? Are we on
the
air?
Yes.
Hello. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere. A dreary and wet Wednesday afternoon. In the Fan Run studio. Well, that doesn't make sense. It's not dreary and wet in here, but outside it is. I got up early today, 6 a.m. or so. It started raining. It was pouring when I woke up. Been pouring all morning. Have you been affected by the rain?
I mean, I just didn't leave the house, but it was pouring rain outside my window pretty much all morning. So I just stayed at home. Did some work from home.
Just until time to go?
Just until time to go.
So you didn't get wet. That makes sense. Yeah. Very smart.
I was able to stay pretty dry, so all good over here.
Yeah, well, good, good, good. Doing okay today?
Yeah, doing good. Decent little Tuesday night, no big deal. Now here we are on Wednesday. Some big news coming late yesterday as the beer board approves alcohol sales inside of Thompson Bowling, Regal Stadium for soccer, and Neyland Stadium for football. Is it fair to say that was expected?
Yeah, I don't know. I think so, because they told them to come back with a better plan.
Well, I mean, I feel like once Tennessee applied for it, that means they wanted it, and that means you're going to get it. Like, you don't turn down a powerful entity and turn down all the extra money. Like, you look at the extra $1 million that the football program will make. That doesn't even take into account, like, how much money the city's going to make.
Right.
That's just for football, right? So if you go ahead and say, hey, don't forget basketball. It's a really big deal for Thompson Bowling.
Concerts.
Yeah, like, you know, Thompson Bowling has struggled a bit. You know, Knoxville has a high entertainment tax as it is anyway, so some of these big artists kind of turn Knoxville down because, A, the tax is higher, and B, they're not getting any cut of any alcohol sales. So I do think that's a big move culturally for Tennessee as well. Like, I do think you'll see some bigger acts come and say, hey, this is a really nice 21,000 seat arena. Now we can make some money here.
That's a good point, and nobody's really talked about that yet this morning. I mean, because that's been kind of overlooked simply because it's happening at Neyland at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So people are thinking about drinking at the football games, but yeah, it's going to be huge for concerts. Hopefully bring some better entertainment to town. And aren't they trying to – I could be wrong on this. I could have just concocted this in my head. But did I see something at some point where maybe the county mayor, Kane, was looking into doing something about the entertainment tax?
Maybe. I don't know.
I'll check on that.
Yeah.
I'll look it up. Not reporting that as fact.
You'll have to go and track that down yourself. But – you know, like I said, I don't want to say it was expected, but I think we all knew once Tennessee started pushing for it that it was going to get done, right? Like, the beer board in town's not going to turn down all that money. And turn down, I mean, is it fair to say that the University of Tennessee is the most, if not the second most powerful thing
in
Knoxville?
In town?
Yeah. Just behind, like, Pilot. I mean, Pilot's a billion-dollar corporation, so, like, I'd say they might have a little bit more pull than the University of Tennessee, but it's probably close, right?
Yeah, it'd be a close call. Those would be the two things, yeah.
I don't know who is number one on the pecking order. I would hope it would be the University of Tennessee, although like we've seen and heard and conspiracy theorized all the time about how it's actually the Pilot is the number one thing here in Knoxville.
Probably those two things, and then, like, I don't know, Regal, Discovery, Oak Ridge?
I wasn't counting Oak Ridge. I mean, if we want to get down to brass tacks, like if we made the people over at Oak Ridge mad, I mean, I guess we'd be in more trouble.
They get, well, yeah, depending on how mad you make them.
Yeah, like if the people at Oak Ridge are like, you know what? I'm driving this car right off the bridge. And if you if your mother never threatens you with that, she didn't love you, and hell, or she maybe didn't have as much of a temper as mine did. Mine constantly threatened to drive the car off the bridge.
Sounds like you really pushed her limits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? So maybe the people at Oak Ridge could make a similar threat. Maybe more people's parents threatened to just, like, turn the car around. I feel like that was probably, as I was kind of speaking through that, I realized most people's parents, when they got mad in the car, was probably like, I'll turn this around, we'll go home. I got that a lot, too, but every now and then when it got really bad, it was, I'm going to drive this car off the bridge.
Did that always get you? Like, okay, Mom, take it easy.
Yeah, yeah, like, whoa, chill out.
I think a lot of it is, we're going to pull this car over.
Yeah.
You're just going to get an asshole on the side of the road.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah, I'm going to go cut a switch.
Yeah.
Pulling the car over probably up there, too. We got turning the car around a lot. At a certain age, I realized, like, hey, Mom, you're not actually going to turn the car around as we're headed to the beach. Like, you've probably already paid for the condo, and plus we've been driving for, like, 4 hours. Like, are you really going to turn it around?
You're just going to just forget about this whole thing?
And then you're going to have to deal with us for a full week at home? Like, I mean, would you rather deal with us at the house being crazy or just, like, maybe put us on the beach somewhere and hope that a shark eats us?
Yeah, you don't even think about those kind of things when you're like 6 years old.
Yeah, like at age like 10, it clicked with me. Like, okay,
you start to figure it out.
Yeah, okay, this isn't actually going to happen.
We've already got a deep sea fishing trip booked.
But the
there's no
thing,
way you're turning
the
around.
The bridge thing scared me a lot. It whipped me into shape.
Yeah.
So yeah, if we made the Oak Ridge people mad, that would probably be the worst.
Probably.
They probably have more power when it comes down to it.
Hey, you got a national laboratory there. The Department of Defense is there.
Yeah.
Or Department of Energy, I guess. I mean, there's
I'm sure there's some defense people there protecting the Department of Energy.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of uranium still there. I mean, it's an interesting place.
But once Tennessee was like, hey, we want alcohol, you kind of thought it was going to get, you know, passed. You kind of thought it was going to get approved. I've been very confident in it because, you know, we already kind of knew on the renovations that in a couple of years Tennessee was wanting to push for alcohol anyways, so a gift was given to them to do it this year. And look, man, get emails pretty much every other day, single game tickets now on sale. You can get a 4-for-4 for the South Carolina game, which is really kind of sad that they're like, hey, buy 4 tickets together and we'll throw in some Coke and hot dogs on top of it.
It's a South Carolina ticket, a double stack. 4 nuggets and fries.
Similar, except instead of the nuggets and fries, they'll give you a smoky dog and a 20-ounce Coke.
I do love the hot dogs at the games.
Please, please buy our tickets. Please buy our tickets and come to watch Tennessee, South Carolina. So, you know, when that stuff's happening and you've seen attendance fall year after year, you knew something was going to happen, and this alcohol approval is kind of like, hey, look, we're going to try to kind of offset some of these losses. We're going to help you out with the old budget. And maybe we're going to try to improve the game day experience. And now you can have arguments about whether or not legalizing and implementing alcohol sales inside of Neyland Stadium will actually improve the game day atmosphere for non-drinkers.
Well, I mean, there was no alcohol in the stadium before this, so this really does change it.
I mean, you are going to have people, though, who didn't want to sneak it in and risk getting caught. Like, you are going to have more drinking now than you probably did before. Like, I don't think you can really argue that. You could say that it's going to be beer instead of liquor, so maybe that is a net positive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to. To me, it seems more likely that it'll cut down on the liquor being snuck in.
That's what I'm saying. And, I mean, replacing liquor with beer is probably a good move to curb some of the heavy drinking.
Yeah, you can get to the same point, but it takes longer.
And more expensive.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
I don't know. Some of those liquor drinks are like $8-$10, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, but, I mean, no one's bringing in high balls from a nice place downtown. They're bringing in airplane bottles. They're like $2 a piece. They're bringing
airplane bottles.
I mean, I was bringing in fifths, but
I was too.
But other people were bringing in airplane bottles or pints. Like, I mean, You usually hear about the airplane bottles in the boots. Not everyone are degenerates like us, but I'm not going to feel a need to do that anymore. I can just be like, hey, you know what? As long as they got Truly there, I'll go get me one of the Trulys and I'll sip it. I mean, if it's just beer, I might have to just, you know, go back to the old me. I don't know, but if they give me an alternative that I like, some of the hard seltzer, like I said, if there's Trulys there inside Neyland Stadium, I'll be fine.
How did you go about smuggling in a fifth? Did you wear boots?
No, just put it in between my legs.
That's what I did, too. It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
I've perfected it over time. It was fun.
I have, too. It helps to have thunder thighs.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was fine for me. The worst experience, though, that I've ever had with it was the Battle of Bristol. Because I don't know if you remember the Battle of Bristol. Did you go to the Battle of Bristol?
I did.
You remember how hot it was? Just how hot that day was? I mean, just being out there all day sweating.
In general, yes.
And it was a long day. Like, you went out there like by noon, and the game didn't start until like 8, right?
No, I got there late. I didn't make the decision.
Shocking.
Well, I didn't make the decision to go up there till like 4 o'clock, and I was like, I'll drive up there and check it out.
Okay, so you
went by myself.
Oh, so you just rolled in.
Yeah, I just rolled up to Bristol and parked and got out. And
well, that's not how it was for most people. Most people were out there drinking all day.
Right, right.
So smuggling that fifth in and walking up all the stairs as I've been just basically in a sauna all day made for really slick thighs.
Yeah.
And a long walk, so I had to kind of maneuver as it was like, you know, falling out of my shorts.
Yeah,
it was
kind of slippery.
Yeah, it was a whole ordeal there. That one was tough.
Yeah, and then you got to like kind of keep your legs together while you're waddling
right
into the stadium.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough.
Once you get around the corner, you just stick your hand down in your pants real quick and just.
I usually try to make it to the bathroom and go to a stall or something.
I just quickly stick my hand down my pants, stick it in the pocket.
Okay.
But yeah, fifth.
But like, to be honest, like I said, if now that alcohol sales are legal, I don't think that now that I'm an adult, I'll do that anymore.
So,
like,
I think
they'll be happy. There'll be less, you know, liquor drink by me.
I don't think I'll do it anymore either.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, this is going to maybe curtail some of that. But overall, I think we're an anomaly. Or I think we're outliers. College kids are still going to keep sneaking their booze in because they're not going to want to pay $10, $12 drinks. 100%. That's still going to happen.
Who do you have to worry most about? Isn't it the college kids that you probably worry the most about getting rowdy, getting aggressive, getting...
I don't think this is going to affect them, really.
I don't...
This might make it tough. This might make it tough for the people who are selling it. Like the whole ID thing, I think that's going to be a hassle in year one of people trying to use fake IDs, and you're not going to have trained people who know how to spot fake IDs. I think that might be an issue.
I'm just thinking about the people that freak out, you know, about there now being open beer containers everywhere in the stadium, and it's not a family-friendly environment anymore. And I'm just thinking, like, won't most of the problems still be confined to the student section? I mean, obviously there's another 80,000 people in the stadium that could present issues, but I think most of the like security and police presence and all that is probably in the student section, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. You see professional games fights all the time break out, alcohol-induced, and those aren't students. So, no, I don't think it's going to be all student section.
I don't know. Maybe it's just per capita in the student section.
I mean, I think you're just more used to the student section, probably. Right? Okay. I mean, over the last like six or seven years.
Like 3 years.
Right, but I mean, most of your football experience over the last 6 or 7 years has been in there, right, or no?
Yeah. It was, yeah, like, you know, 4 years ago.
That's what
I had
saying.
A good time in the student section.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, it was a lot of, well, sometimes it was fun. Sometimes it was more headache than it was worth whenever you had just people squeezing in on top of you. Like, I didn't necessarily love it. Shocking, right, that I wouldn't, like, necessarily love it. The crowd and the hassle and the.
Yeah, I mean.
Standing up. People taking your seats, bumping into you.
Yeah.
It just wasn't really
Excuse
good.
Me. Excuse me, could you please sit down? I can't see the game.
Yeah, I was never doing that, but there were people who would do that. And then like, it was just always a hassle because you'd have four friends and then like two others would want to come sit with you and then you'd have to try to squeeze in. Now you're the jerks and like you're taking up everybody's space and you're trying to act like you don't know. And then someone's like, I'm going to get the usher and they're coming down and try to check your ticket and you have to try to act like you lost it. And then it's just more trouble than it was worth.
My dad.
You always have the friends from out of town who couldn't get guest tickets. So you're like, yeah, just come sit with us.
Yeah, and then everybody's just packed in there.
And then the one time you actually get good seats is when everyone tries to take your seats, and now you're trying to be that guy like, I've been waiting 3 years to get these second row seats. Get the hell out of my way.
my dad's tickets are in like Y8, I think, right behind the goalpost, like facing the
south end
zone. Yeah,
that's where mine were when I had season tickets.
And but his are like right. There's this old couple that sits right behind him, and they can't really move. They're probably in their 90s. They may be dead by now. I don't know, but they're a very, very old couple. And I always felt bad because the lady would always ask me to sit down. And it's like, you know, when she's like 95, I mean, you kind of got to do what she asks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's on you to do it.
Right.
Like, you should do it. And if not, you're going to look like a jerk. And you're probably going to feel like a jerk. And
right.
She's going to have to ask you.
Yeah. And so, because it's them. But if it's like just a regular guy, I don't think I would sit down, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, no, buddy. Sorry.
If it's an older person, I think I would oblige. If not, you know, he can stand up too.
So you'll have that going on now, officially. The board has asked to make sure that a couple of things get fixed, but nothing big, right? I mean, it's just like, hey, we need you to put signage up warning the underage drinking, warning your employees, warning the people who are drinking it that they're going to get in trouble. Got to have a plan for staffing at exits to ensure alcohol is disposed of after games. They don't want people leaving the stadium with the alcohol, of course.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have to try to train to spot intoxicated people. Who has been overserved? Who is going to be rowdy?
Sometimes that's easy.
Sometimes it is. But, like, how do you handle that? Again, I think that's going to be the issue is people checking IDs and some people maybe not understanding how to serve alcohol type of things.
Yeah.
Like either cutting off someone who's too drunk or trying to cut someone off who's not, and then just leading to those arguments. Although, like, I think if we know anything about concessions at Neyland Stadium, it's not like people are going to be able to go too often during the game, right?
Because the line's going
to
be so
long. Yeah, just the lines are
long. I imagine the lines are going
to
be awful.
So I'm saying, like, you're allowed to get 2 25-ouncers at one time.
Imagine people going at halftime.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think at most you're going to be able to do 1 a quarter.
Do you ever get up at halftime and, like, go to the concessions and stuff?
Sometimes I get up at halftime just to go out to, like, get some fresh air, but
you don't go,
not.
Like, stand in line for the bathroom or any of that, right?
I did for the Florida game in 2016.
I just don't
That was a very miserable place in 2016, the halftime line of the Florida game. We're all just kind of just walking around like zombies.
I've always wondered why people get up at halftime because
there's nothing going on.
Well, I get that, but it's when everybody gets up. You know what I mean?
I know, but
and the stuff you got to deal with, like I always get up with like 4 minutes to go until halftime.
Yeah, but some people like the game. Some people aren't there just for the atmosphere and the
I like the game
the theatrics
too, but
some people are there
miss,
to watch football and watch their team
I'm
play.
I'm okay with missing 2 minutes of the game for having
well, 4 minutes. You said you get up with 4 minutes left.
Well, I don't come back right at halftime. Sometimes I come back with 3 minutes
I
left.
I don't believe
two
that
minutes
you get
left.
Up and out in a minute.
I just think
I'm
it's
throwing
silly.
The flag on you getting up with 4 minutes and you being back with 3 minutes.
I just think it's silly to get up at halftime because that's when everybody gets up.
Yeah, but college halftimes are longer, which is bad for the TV viewing experience. Like, I love the NFL halftimes. In and out.
Yeah. Don't
you got
get
time
wrong.
To go to the bathroom. You got time to maybe run somewhere. You don't really have time to run somewhere and get food. I used to try to make like a 15-minute run to get food. Would always come back. Third quarter had like 10 minutes left in it.
NFL stadiums are probably better set up than Neyland. Neyland is not set up very well in terms of
honestly, I don't know if it was just a bad experience I had, but when I went to the Titans-Eagles game last year, it was a miserable experience trying to get to the concession.
Was it?
It was awful.
I
missed pretty much the entire I tried to go at halftime to the concession stands. Like, you mean like you're saying it's a dumb idea. Actually, it might have been like even the beginning of the third quarter. I didn't get back to like almost the end of the third quarter. It was miserable. It was a terrible experience.
I just recall the Panther Stadium last year. It was really set up well.
Were they selling alcohol there?
Yeah, they were.
They
were they?
I can't
remember.
I thought the SEC had kind of gotten out of it, like even their neutral site games you couldn't buy
I don't
alcohol
remember
anymore.
If they were.
After
so
that
maybe
guy
they
fell
were
in the North Carolina State game.
Maybe they were since I don't remember.
I mean, I would say that you were drunk before you went into the game.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't think them selling it there has anything to do with you not remembering.
I was hammered before the game. Did they sell alcohol? I don't know. I don't remember. Anyway, Jesse tweets in a good point. He said, now that they're selling alcohol, think of the crude things the students will now be yelling after a load of booze.
Vols says, yes, there was beer at Charlotte.
Okay.
Again, probably why I don't remember.
He also wasn't at Bristol, though, right? Or was there?
Did
Bristol have it? Okay.
I don't remember.
I don't know if I'm getting old or if I just...
I think there was.
All my friends blacked out before the game, so...
Like I said, like it was a full day thing.
Yeah.
And that was another one of those instances where I just, you know...
Also important to remember, now that they're selling alcohol in the stadiums, this could be a gateway. I mean, how long is it going to be before they're selling the marijuana pots in there? You know what I mean?
I would say we're a decade or so away from that.
Got to get legal first.
Yeah, I would say I'd say we're a pretty good ways away from that.
This could be a gateway.
CBD candies at the concessions.
This could be a gateway, I'm telling you. Soon enough, they'll be sprinkling Coke on the hot dogs.
Tennessee says, yes, there was beer at Bristol.
Okay.
Shout out to the listeners.
Maybe I'm just an idiot.
And liquor. Oh, wow.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was just way too expensive. Maybe it was like $15. Like, nah, I'm good. Because, you know, I don't drink beer, so maybe.
Parentheses, they had moonshine lemonade.
They went with the Sugar Lambs, I guess. Okay. Probably.
Yeah.
Something of the sorts.
I'm excited about having cold beer in the stadium. I think it'll keep me from smuggling in liquor, too, especially early in September, October when it's hot. I'll never forget smuggling in a fifth of bourbon to the Arkansas State game in 2014. Don't know why I went to – well, my family came over for it. That's why I went. But it was like 100 degrees,
mm-hmm.
and I got one of those big souvenir cups and mixed some liquor in it with my Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Just the worst decision you can make. The ice melts in 4 seconds, and
yeah.
you just got a 40 ounces of just liquor and Coke that's getting hotter and hotter.
Yeah. There's no real way to go around it.
There's really not. So cold beer, I think that'd be a good thing for me.
And like I said, just I think the people at Tennessee, I think the SEC, I think all of college football kind of understands they're going to have to do something to try to combat how comfy staying at home is. I don't know if it's a problem as simple as win some games and it'll get fixed. Because Alabama wins a bunch of games and it's not fixed there either. Maybe they're winning too much. I don't know. Maybe it's a pendulum and it swings the other way once you start winning too much and the games aren't competitive anymore. But I just think less and less people want to go to the games.
Yeah. I mean, it's just it's our changing environment, our changing culture. People don't like going to the games as much, I guess.
Fix the Wi-Fi, fix the alcohol.
Put another Jumbotron up, renovate the south side of the stadium because it's an eyesore.
Does that deter you from going to the game, the south end zone? I don't feel like it actually.
Kinda.
Okay, maybe.
If the only ticket I can get is over there, like gate 8 or whatever it is, where you got to walk through those old musty halls, you know where I'm talking about? It's like rock walls. It's like being in a dungeon over by the visitor's locker room. I mean, it's hard to find the concessions, the bathrooms, everything's old. It's not cool. It's not cool. It's time to renovate. I feel like we're way behind on that. I know some people, the traditionalists, they're like, well, that just makes it part of that's just Neyland. That's part of Neyland. Hey, it's 2019. Make it all like Gate 21.
When it comes to whether or not I want to go to the game, usually to me, though, the deciding factor is, are we going to win? If I don't feel like it's at least a 50, I won't even say 50-50, a 40-60 proposition, I'm probably going to side with, not worth the hassle, especially now, you know, doing voluntary action and having to be back for the game, and not really worth it.
I get the logic on that, but you also miss out if there's a big win doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, again.
Like a nice upset win?
Yeah. Name the last time that's happened.
I understand. It doesn't happen often. It's not likely, but I love the feeling of being there when it does.
Yeah, that's fun. But, I mean.
Yeah, the odds are in your favor.
Yeah,
sure.
it usually doesn't happen.
There's probably an 85-15 chance Georgia will beat us this year. But think about the 15%.
And that's what got you to watch the 41-0 beatdown in 2017.
It's also gotten me to watch the big wins we've had here since I've been here.
Like what?
Florida.
We were favored by
South Carolina.
I believe we were favored by 9 points in that game.
South Carolina.
That was a 7-point spread.
Well, I don't care what the spread is. I'm just saying, I know we haven't won any of those games in the last 5 years. I'm saying, what if we do this year?
Ever since you've been alive, has Tennessee won a like shocking home game?
Cal in 06.
I don't think that was shocking.
Cal was favored in that game.
By how many?
I don't know, but they were ranked 9th in the country, and we were
23rd. Tennessee was in the top 25, though. Usually
23rd.
Yeah, usually top 25 teams at home.
Cal was 9th.
Aren't that big of underdogs.
I'm not sitting here telling you it's likely. I'm saying if it happens, I'd like to be there.
I understand. I'm just saying
it's not all about the odds.
I'm just asking when it's happened.
Well, I don't know, but I'll take my chances.
Seems very fruitful.
To go watch the game.
Seems like it's been very fruitful for you so far.
It hasn't. But you know what? If we beat Georgia this year, I'll be there watching.
Okay.
Probably, unless we come into it at like 3, if we come into it like 2-2, I probably won't go. But if we're undefeated going in, I'm going to be there.
That 2006 season could have been so special.
We went 9-4, didn't we?
Yeah, but man, I'm saying it could have been special.
Lost to Penn State in the bowl game. We lost to Notre Dame that year. Lost to LSU and Arkansas, if I recall.
No on the Notre Dame. But
Florida.
Yeah.
21-20. That was a tight one.
1 point.
Yeah.
That was the one you were up 20-7 as well, right?
Yes. Lost a tight one there. I was at that LSU game. That was the one where they early Doucette. Jamarcus Russell hit him with like 9 seconds to go in the game. That was a heartbreaker.
I, too, was at that game.
That sucked. And then I was also in Fayetteville the next week to watch Darren McFadden run for like 185 yards on us.
I would imagine that also sucked.
It was very, very awful for me, yes.
That season could have been special.
Could have been. Wasn't.
No, it was not. That's a good way to end the segment.
That was a tough back-to-back weeks for an eighth grader.
LSU would at number 11, Arkansas, your home.
Yeah. Just two straight weeks of pure heartbreak.
I feel you. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Tweeter writes in, any news on it only being a 2-beer max?
Yeah, that's what it is.
But it's not like for the whole day, though, right? It's just for 2 beers at one time.
Yeah, of course not. You can go to the concession stands as many times as you want. And if they get testy with you, go to another one.
Mix them up, yeah.
Yeah. Sir, I've served you 2 beers 4 times. That's 8 now.
Now, are you going to have to bring 2 IDs when you do that, I assume? Or what?
If you get 2 at once?
Yeah.
I mean, like, a lot of them.
Surely not.
Usually you do. Like, if you go to a bar, like, now you can't really get two drinks with 1 ID.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't. Do you not remember the time?
Yes, you can.
Do you not remember the fight we almost got into at Roosters? Last fall, when they were like, we need 6 IDs, and we're just like, are you kidding me?
That was a rare circumstance.
I think if you're getting six drinks,
I think that's how it's supposed to be, though.
The bars I go to, if I say I need 2 beers, they're not going to give me any trouble.
Yeah, but you're a regular, is what I'm getting at. Like, if you go to somewhere you're not, they're supposed to ask you for an ID for everybody. It's a state of Tennessee law.
I wouldn't say I'm a regular anywhere, and this past weekend, there were several times that I went up and I was like, I need 2 beers.
Were you at, like, a college bar?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's the reason why. Because they're serving underage people to keep their doors open and to keep making money. And you don't want to be the bar that doesn't serve underage people.
The bar that doesn't serve underage people is the one that's been around the longest.
That's because they're not on the strip and their rent's a lot lower than everyone else's.
That's got something to do with it, too.
But that's the one I was at.
I mean, I understand, but like, they're probably a lot stricter at the door then. Like, they probably feel like if you're in there, they trust their bouncers to do that. Most bars or most restaurants who don't have a strict doorman are supposed to check everyone's IDs.
It has not been my experience that the bars I've gone to have asked me for multiple IDs if I order two beers.
Okay.
I mean, maybe that's just my experience, but...
I'd also be stunned if they even recognize people coming up and ordering more than two beers. Like, if it's like, you can have a two-beer max.
I don't think it'll be there unless, like, I mean, unless they are... I mean, there might be a way that they try to make everyone go and do, like, an ID check at another kiosk, right? I've been places before where, like, let's just call it, what's the festival downtown? Rhythm and Blooms. When you go in there, if you want a drink, you have to go to a different kiosk. They give you a wristband, and then you can go and you show your wristband. That way the people serving it aren't actually checking IDs. It might be something like that to slow down the line at the concession stands.
That would kind of make sense.
Because I do think you're going to have some people get testy, some family people. Like, I'm tired of getting all these people having to get their IDs out and check their IDs. I just want a fountain soda and a hot dog. My kid is hungry. My kid is hungry. Please let me feed my child. Enough with you alcoholics.
Should have fed him before you brought him to the game.
So I do think there's a potential that they might set up like a kiosk to make you go get your ID checked and get a wristband. So there, technically, they could mark it and be like, hey, this person's already had a max number.
I wish what they would do is set up just the big coolers, which, what I understand is going to be all draft beer. I wish they would set up the big coolers where you could just go to specifically get a beer. You know what I mean? Big coolers. There's one guy there, and there's a, you know, Bud Light, Miller Light, Coors Light, whatever.
That might be how it goes. I don't know.
They're tall boys. They're not doing it though because they're doing the draft, right?
Which they might don't want any projectiles.
Well, I don't know. Are they doing drafts or are they doing just cups? Because there's a difference in drafts and cups. You could just open a can and pour it in there theoretically.
Well, yeah, you could. I'm assuming it'll be from the tap.
I don't know if they'll be able to get taps in year one, maybe year two. But I wouldn't be shocked if year one there are just all these stations set up with big coolers full of many, many beer, and you come and they pour it into a cup for you and try to keep it moving. Because, look, I mean, you've seen a bunch of schools say, we're not going to do this year one. And partly that might be because, like we talked about, you don't want to make your donors mad who have spent a bunch of money and already bought big box seats this year. That way they can drink alcohol. Like, I do think that is a legitimate concern for people who go out and spend a bunch of money to get that preferred treatment.
Well, those people can still get the preferred treatment of bringing in their Maker's Mark and their Woodford Reserve,
sure, but
or
I mean,
whatever.
But for a while, like, those were the only people allowed to drink, and that was a thing that probably made them feel pretty powerful and like they were better than the plebeians down below.
Yeah, they're letting the peasants drink now. I'm going to withdraw my donation. You think it'll come to that?
I think they'll have trouble convincing people to spend the extra couple $1,000 to get a box when they can just get, you know, have regular seats.
I don't think the alcohol is the big thing with them. I think those are just status people.
I think if they're in a box, they want to be away from everybody anyways.
Maybe.
Yeah, because they think they're better than the regular people.
I guarantee you there are some people who do it because they get to have alcohol, though.
Also,
that might be like the tie-breaking factor of spending the extra money. Could we get seats like on the 40-yard line, or could we get these seats? I don't know. You get alcohol.
Also, I feel like if they're taking it and pouring it into cups this first year, there's going to be some foamy, foamy beers.
Yeah, they're not going to know how to pour it right.
I mean, maybe. And maybe they'll go ahead and they get the taps and everything set up. I don't know. This is going to be a rush to get this ready because we're what? 6 weeks away, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to see their plan, their detailed plan. Somebody should have went to the beer board meeting, I guess. I guess they talked about all that, didn't they? The details of how they're going to do it?
I'm sure they did.
Yeah.
Probably would have been beneficial. Should have made Trey come back.
Maybe
can you get back in time for the beer board meeting?
Maybe we could ask that guy from Channel 6 that was doing all the reporting to come on.
This is what makes you want to break out your journalism hat and get to the bottom of a story and have a guest on to interview.
That would be more interesting to me than most, you know, bringing some guy on to talk about, well, what do you expect from the SEC East's running backs this year?
We'll send him a message.
Okay.
If he'll come on, we'll have him on because
let's see what his name is. What was it? Mark something? I'll find him.
Okay. Yeah. See if you can track him down. Twitter writes in, when Butch beat a top 10 South Carolina team. Yeah, I understand. That was a 7-point spread, though. South Carolina's favored by 7. Which, maybe that's not that different than Georgia, because I remember that Georgia spread in 2017. started out around 7, and I ended up around 10, but maybe the extra couple points, maybe the extra couple points aren't as big of a deal as I'm making. Maybe there was a reason to think that the 2017 Vols could go in and beat Georgia. Maybe. So outside of that, we have one time, a noon kickoff against South Carolina. I remember being really confident for that game, though. Weren't people really confident for that South Carolina game in 2013? Because it wasn't that
was two weeks after.
Hadn't you just played Georgia to the wire, and then you had a bye week to get ready for it?
Yeah, everybody going in was like feeling like we were going to get one. It was time.
I remember feeling like we were going to win that game.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Just because it hasn't happened, though, doesn't mean it can't.
I understand. And look, I mean, if you're one of those people who doesn't want to miss the opportunity, you have the FOMO.
There he goes with those people again.
No.
The you people, those people.
Look, the fear of missing opportunity to celebrate is a big deal. FOMO. You got to be there in case it happens. I understand.
Mm-hmm. I'm DMing this guy right now.
Okay.
His name was Blake, not Mark.
Close.
What should I start with?
Hey man.
Hey,
great
man.
Job reporting yesterday.
Great job. Should I capitalize hey?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, look professional. Come on. I'd go, hey, comma.
Is hey man professionals?
I mean.
Hello, Blake. My name is Cody McClure from WKGN. Should I say hey, Blake, or hey, man? I'm going to go with Blake.
I'd just go with hey, probably.
Sup.
You got to put the apostrophe in front of the S, though.
Hey, with three Y's.
Just send him the Kawhi Leonard, what it do, baby.
I'll take care of this.
Great job reporting yesterday. My name's Cody. I love beer. I love drinking. I was really tuned into you. Did you follow him yesterday?
No.
Oh, it's gonna seem very hollow that you couldn't even hit him with a follow. Now you're asking him to come on the air.
I'll hit him with one if he follows me first.
But you're the one asking him for something.
I'm asking him to he can promote his brand on the most listened to radio show in the market if he wants. Or he cannot. It's up to him.
Is that what we're claiming now, that we're the most listened to show in the market? Is that what we're claiming?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't feel like that's accurate, but okay.
Why not? Speak it into existence.
I mean, there's a difference between speaking it into existence and already like trying to represent ourselves.
We're
as
the
such.
Greatest radio show in Tennessee.
Now, no one could prove that differently.
I think we should really market that, the greatest radio show in Tennessee.
Okay, I'm fine with that being a tagline.
Hey, Blake, I was following your reports from yesterday's beer board meeting. I wanted to see if...
You're not going to butter him up and tell him he did a great job?
Perhaps you would like to come on the radio and talk about it soon, today.
Just not top of the hour, we do headlines.
Should I mention it somewhere? I know it's kind of short notice. Hey, Blake, I know it's kind of short notice. It's a bit of a short notice. But I was following your reports from yesterday's beer board meeting, and I wanted to see if perhaps you would like to come on the radio and talk about it.
I would probably specify that we're just looking for like details of what their plans are. That way, like, he doesn't just come on and say, yeah, so it's approved. We're like, yeah, we already know that type
wanted
of thing.
Wanted to see if perhaps you would like to come on the radio and talk about details.
You're not very good at writing. I thought you were a writer.
Meeting.
You've always talked about how good of a writer you are.
Direct message the same as being a writer?
I mean, similar.
I'm going to send whatever I want to send, and I think it'll be just fine. He'll get back to me. What's he going to ghost me? No, if he ghosts me, I will no longer be a Channel 6 man. I'll tell you that much.
Let me know how it goes. If he comes on, though, and doesn't have the actual details, I'm going to be upset.
Well, we'll just hang up on him.
We can't be disrespectful to someone in the market.
If it's boring, we can just hang up.
That's, no.
It's like, he doesn't know anything. Hang up. But I'm thinking maybe he knows something because he was there.
Okay. Like I said, maybe that's something you should work out with him before.
You let me take care of this.
We'll see how it goes. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Yeah. Care for some outside perspective on this?
On what?
Just our conversation.
Who's it coming from?
Two people.
Respected?
Co-workers.
Oh, so not respected?
Co-workers.
Nate?
Nope, not the boss.
Then not respected.
Bear tells us that he's been told, he has sources, it says it'll go from cans into cups.
From cans into cups.
Correct. Cans into cups.
I don't know how I feel about that. Just give me the can.
I don't want people throwing cans on the field. It's easier to also dispose of cups. You could just stack them into each other. Feels like that's easier.
You still got to throw away all those cans. Now you got to get rid of all the aluminum and all
the
plastic.
Yeah, but they could probably control it and recycle. Shout out to our friends at Waste Connections. Use the promo code FANRUN to get an introductory rate. They recycle. Good sports always recycle. You hear them talk about it inside the stadium. They're probably like, hey, can we get in on this recycling? You keep the cans, you pour them into the beer, you throw them in here, we'll come pick up the recycling, we'll help save the environment. Waste Connections of Tennessee. Maybe it's 522-8161 is the number to call.
But if you just poured all that from the taps, then you could just recycle all the plastic and you wouldn't have to deal with the aluminum.
Wait. Say that one more time.
This way, you got to deal with both plastic and aluminum. If you just did cans, it would only be aluminum. If you just did cups and draft, it would only be plastic.
Yeah, but what's the easiest to do? I think what they're doing is the easiest to do.
The easiest way to do it.
Well, besides just giving people cans and let them throw them on the field and make a mess out of them. Yeah, but they don't want to do that.
Well, it's the same as throwing cups on the field, isn't
it? No, it's not.
What's the difference?
You can't throw a full cup on the field the same as you can throw a full can on the field.
Sure, you can.
It's not going to go as far.
Sure, it will.
Let's play a game. I'll take a full can of Coke. You take a full cup of water and let's slam them at each other and let's see who wins. Let's keep doing it over and over and over.
Well, the full can of Coke's going to hurt worse.
Oh, you think? Well, that's the whole point. That's what I just said.
I didn't know you were talking about hitting players with cans. I thought you meant maybe trash was the concern.
But both. But let's do that. You want to do that? I'll throw cans at you. You throw cups at me. Do you?
Yeah, I'll fill my cup with rocks.
That's fine.
You keep your Coke can. I'll fill my cup with rocks.
That's fine.
We'll see which
you're
one hurts
still not
worse.
Get it. I will take that, too. You can do that.
If I take a cup with rocks and slam it at your face, it's going to hurt.
We're going to stand away from each other 10 feet away, and we're going to have a duel. You throw cups of rocks at me, and I'll throw cans of Coke at you.
All right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm putting a lid on my cups.
That's fine, too. It's not going to work. When you throw the rocks, it's going to make them.
I'm going to toss the rocks at you from the cup. That's what I'm going to do.
It's not going to work.
I'm going to, like, pitch. You know what I'm saying?
That's
pitch
not going to
rocks.
Not get enough speed that way.
Oh, I'll get speed.
Not as much as I do when I throw a Rawdus Chapman fastball right into your head with my can of Coke. Ben Lee hit the baseball music.
I'll dodge your can. Your dumbass can. I'm looking at it from a beer drinking perspective. I don't care about the safety of the game.
Do people not like drinking out of cups? Is this a thing?
Yeah, but if it's draft beer.
You're like, I like pouring a can of Coke into a cup sometimes. I mean, it's pretty yummy. Does beer not work the same way? I'm genuinely curious because I don't drink beer.
I mean, it works fine. It's just.
So really you're just complaining to be complaining?
It's just better.
You're doing that thing again?
No, it's
just
better from the tap. It's better from the tap.
Contrarian Cody.
That's all I'm saying. Is
class in session.
It's better from the tap.
Well, maybe in a couple years they'll be able to get all the taps ready. They have 2 months.
How hard is it?
Would you rather them just taking a full year off to get the taps ready?
No.
Okay, then.
I'd rather
shut
have the beer
up.
Now.
Okay, then shut up.
No, I won't
shut up.
I'm going to get what I want.
No, you're not. You're going to be drinking?
You don't know that. Bear reported that to you. You have no idea if that's factually correct.
Well, I know they're not doing cans.
Are you confident that Bear has a legitimate source inside the stadium?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I believe in Bear.
I like Bear, but I'm not confident.
I know they're not handing cans over to people, and I don't think they're going to have the taps ready. And I don't think they're going to have enough taps in enough places to get people served.
They hand cans over to people at pro games. What's wrong with doing it at college games?
Are you sure they do?
I'm positive.
I feel like when I went to the Titans,
tall
they
boys.
Had cups.
They have tall boys at all kinds of games. They have tall boys. And tall boys will hurt worse than regular cans.
I don't know.
Double the impact.
I've always seen people have cups.
I don't think that's a big concern. I don't think we're going to have a lot of people launching full cans from the stands.
What about the recycling? I just told you good sports always
recycle.
You
can recycle aluminum, too.
Yeah, I know. And they're going to. They're going to take it onto themselves instead of you, drunk boy in there, throwing it onto the field or just getting it stepped on and leaving.
If I throw it on the field, they can pick it up and recycle it after I throw it on the field.
Now you're just causing them a lot of trouble. They'd rather just.
What about all the people that throw all their popcorn in the stands?
Birds will come and eat it. Everyone knows that.
You know what I mean. The paper bags, the Coke-soaked programs, all the pom-poms, all the stuff that people leave behind. Somebody's got to pick that stuff up.
I don't know, Cody. There's a reason they want cups and not cans.
Well, I've yet to hear a good reason.
There's a reason they want it, though. So there's source number one. Source number two comes from Chance, who says he manages a bar and says that you 100% have to ask for multiple IDs if people are getting multiple drinks.
Maybe at his bar. It doesn't happen to me. And it's not just the places I'm a regular at. I'm telling you, that doesn't happen. I guarantee you, if we put this test in the field and we just went around to 10 bars today, I guarantee you, eight of those bars would give me the two beers and not ask a question.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go to a restaurant.
Yeah, let's test it.
You go up to the bar and try to order two drinks.
All right, let's test it.
Okay. And if more than two say, I got to have IDs, you owe me $100. How confident are you?
You owe me $100 if they don't. What'd you say, more than two?
Yeah, you said two are going to do it. Let's make the
bet.
I'm not
doing
that.
Two and a half
is the over-under. I'll take three.
You can put it at five.
No, you're not that confident.
It's not about testing my confidence level. If I'm going to put $100 on it, I got to be more confident.
I'll do five. I'm not paying you the $100 if you lose.
I'm not paying you either.
This is just a guarantee that you have. You're the one so confident.
I'm not paying you either then.
So you're not confident.
I'm confident.
You're just bloviating.
I'm what?
Bloviating.
Where'd you learn that word?
Drink the pee.
Pee off.
Hopefully I used it correctly. What does bloviate mean?
Bloviate. Bloviate sounds like something.
Talk at length, especially in an inflated or empty way. Wow.
I use
it perfectly.
That's what you do.
How about that?
You bloviate on a daily basis.
How about that? Use bloviate perfectly.
You've been bloviating this entire segment.
Wow. Nailed it.
Did you?
Yeah. You have been talking at length, especially in an inflated or empty way. Your empty threats. Your inflated proclamations.
I'll give you five.
Okay. I pick the bars and restaurants.
We'll let an outside party
pick the bars
and restaurants. No.
I pick them.
Absolutely not.
We're not going to your hole in the walls or you're going to your places where you're regulars.
I'm going to places that you have not been...
That they don't notice Cody.
I don't want you picking. We can take the two bars that I frequent the most and rule them out. That's fine. But I want someone else. I want a third party picking the bars. And not Ben, because Ben's going
to
pick whatever
you
want.
Are we supposed to believe you only frequent two bars?
Regularly.
Cody, I was on your side of the argument.
I know, but you and him, your thing. Yeah. You and him. I know you're up to something.
Okay. Well, it's exciting times here, though, right?
Yeah. Ready to get drunk.
We'll see if this helps with attendance at all. I do think you'll have some, an increase in revenue, and you'll have people who point to this being bad for families, and you'll have people like Evan, who DMs a report coming from Ohio State that mirrors pretty much every other school, that says when we started selling alcohol, less alcohol-related incidents. It enables it stops binge drinking, and it tries to slow people down and regulate it. That's a thing that happens. I've yet to see one school come out and say, this was a bad idea, let's get rid of it. Has anyone done that? Has anyone tried it for 1 year and said, wow, disaster?
No, because they all enjoyed the money it brought in.
Seems like every report has been, we made close to $1 million, and alcohol-related incidents went down. Maybe there's some stories out there that I'm missing where people have said, yeah, this just didn't work for us, we're going back to not doing it. So far, it seems like everyone's like, wow, great idea. This was perfect. We love the money. People backing you up on the cans, by the way. The large cans.
That they are
at professional games, yeah.
I know I've drank them somewhere.
Okay.
Seemed like a sporting event.
John says Bridgestone has them. Donovan says the Titans have them. Cam says the Falcons have them.
I know Atlanta United has them.
I wonder why that is such a sticking point for the university. It seems like that's, you know, they're kind of against cans. I wonder what the reason is there.
You can cut yourself with aluminum.
That's true.
It's hard to do with
plastic. Maybe you don't want that. Maybe you don't want people trying to get so mad they rip them together and then get sharp and then someone gets hurt with them.
If there was a fight, I mean, you could make a weapon out of an aluminum can.
Wow. Can you imagine someone shanking a Florida Gator fan in 2020 and just blood?
Wouldn't be the worst person to shank.
Pouring out of his body as Florida is up 34-7 and the alcohol is pouring through Neyland Stadium. I mean, I'm glad they didn't have alcohol in 2018 inside the stadium.
Yeah, or 2016 or 2014 for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, obviously we'd never advocate for that, but there would be worse fan bases to shank.
Well, I just meant in general. But yeah, last year's Florida game, that would have been led to some bad times. Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
We know pets.